Good day, everyone. This is Eugene B. Colson with Mind Controlled America from the BBS Radio Network. I'm going to explain a little about what mind control is, because you, or probably someone you know, are a mind control victim. Mind control was developed by Joseph Mengele. That's what he was doing in that concentration camp, and then he taught the CIA how to do it. And what they do is they find children that they molest and torture back in the 60s, in my case, so that they can split the brain. They can, once the mind splits, the child will naturally split his brain and go off into a different portion and create a personality just to deal with the abuse. Well, once they got that mind split, then they can program it like a computer. They will program in sex alters, which are different personalities. Oral sex alters, anal sex alters, or whatever perversion they want to do. In my case, when a wonderful man named Creel Helton, who was the first man in the Korean War, went out with a knife all night long, and then everybody else tried to copy him, moved into my neighborhood when I was five, he profiled me. He got my wonderful father to join the Ku Klux Klan. The Klan quickly became a satanic coven, and they told my parents they'd be super patriots if they gave me over to the program. Now, I didn't know anything about mind control until I heard Kathy O'Brien. She wrote the book Transformation of America, and I was at the Guadana Forum in 1996, and she put on a seminar and sold her book. Well, I couldn't put the book down. I didn't know why. And in 2000, I realized my family were victims of mind control via the CIA Mafia Front Organization, Worldwide Church of God. And I've been told this by countless intelligence people that that's the case. They were a clearinghouse for mind control victims for the sex trade and assassins for the mafia, CIA, and special ops. Well, if the listeners don't know what reverse speech is, I suggest you go to David John Oates, reversespeech.com, and listen to it. Reverse speech is how I found it. You take a tape-recorded message of anyone, you play it backwards, and you actually hear a portion of their thoughts or beliefs come out. If children learn to speak backwards first. Well, the emphasis was done to me from age five. I'm still not free. I'm 51 years old now. They can still get inside of my head. I got my military training one-on-one from Creel Helton. Then I was sent over my junior year in high school, Christmas vacation, to get my sniper training from Alex Luan, who was known as the Walking Arsenal in Vietnam. He made Carlos Hathcock look like a kindergarten. And one of the most famous classified actions in Vietnam was the Bunker Hill action, where one man with conviction took out the NVA Special Ops Company by himself. That man was me. And it was an accident, but I was the right place, right time, right equipment, and right attitude, and I took them all out. And then I had a nervous breakdown. If anybody has feel funny about this or any way, I have to warn the listeners that if you're a mind control victim and you realize you're a mind control victim, there's a suicide program programmed into each and every one of us. So if you start getting suicidal thoughts from just listening to this radio show, surround yourself by family, because it'll be going on for 3 to 4 days nonstop, all these different ways you should kill yourself. Well, after the Mayaguez rescue, and on that island off of Cambodia, I performed so well that Richard Marchenko, founder of SEAL Team 6, putting me in Bud's class, 99, starting Phase 2 in 1976 in Norfolk, under Master Chief Charles D. Griswold. And I went through SEAL training. Officially, am I a SEAL? No. Officially, am I military, regular military, anything? No. Unofficially, another map. And there are a lot of people in the military that don't know that they are SEAL or Recon and Delta Force because they'll do the mind control routine for them. But they're much better at it now than they were when I was put into the program because they had virtual reality hood, better drugs, better hypnotic devices. And they will do this to you. They do it a lot to just regular Army people. If they go on a mission and they see some things that they don't want them to remember, they'll erase their memory short-term memory with electroshock, drugs, torture, and hypnotism. They're actually good enough now that they could snag someone off the street, drug them, put the virtual reality hood on them, torture them, and turn them loose, and they'll actually go assassinate someone, they'll bring them back, they'll erase their short-term memory, and they won't know what they did. Sometimes it'll come back in dreams and flashbacks. Eugene B. Coulson is my SEAL and Delta Force operational name. Captain Eugene B. Coulson, that's Captain Eugeneb, as in Harry, Coulson, Coulson. In fact, that's my email address, eugenebcoulson@yahoo.com. If you care to email me, go to eugenebcoulson@yahoo.com. Now, children on military bases, they're doing this wholesale to children on military bases. I'm not saying every child, but they're raising the next generation of shadow warriors. And they will sexually abuse them, they will torture them, and if the teacher isn't in on the program, they'll do the same thing to the teacher so that the teacher doesn't even know this is happening. And so if you know anybody that's got families on military bases, tell them to get off the base. Now, typically they pair two mind control victims. Now, it was first started MK-Ultra, Project MK-Ultra, and then the Senate canceled that in 1978. And so the CIA just renamed it Operation Monarch, M-O-N-A-R-C-H. But there is a sub-Monarch division, M-O-N-A-R-K, for the Ultimate Killers. I was under that Monarch program. Now, how do you recognize if you're a mind control victim? When you close your eyes to go to sleep, you see flashing lights, colors, blue, red, orange. Sometimes it's like a white lightning storm. Your thought processes are verbal as opposed to concept. There's a conversation going on in your head. If you have like one part of your brain having a conversation with the other, up to two or more at the same time, and this thought process is how you think, and you're not thinking conceptually, because most people, normal people, think conceptually, which means they visualize the pictures and then out of the concept they think. In my case, all my thoughts are verbal. And once you get into healing, eventually now those the conversation will go away. You'll integrate all of your alters into yourself, and when you do that, your IQ is going to go off the charts. Now, they also have voice-to-skull technology. And what is voice-to-skull technology? Voice-to-skull technology is they can determine at what level and frequency your brain thinks on, and they can go in there and verbally interact. And in my case, they did this in 2001 for a brief period of time because I'd hear this voice in my head talking, and I'd say, who's this? And they would reply back, well, this is God. They work on your belief structure, and they usually go after it like that. And for 2 months, I believed it. I was a basket case for a year after they took my family away from me. What they did was, when I was investigating Worldwide Church of God, running sermon tapes through the reverse speech machine, they were, I would go around to the different break-off churches of Worldwide Church of God and gather sermon tapes. Because I heard for years that Joseph the Koch was mafia. So when I started running these sermon tapes through the reverse speech machine, not only were I finding they were mafia, they were CIA, they were satanic priests, NSA, MI6, other foreign intelligences, other operations, FBI, and so on and so forth. And I learned all this satanic terminology like the Maku, Lodi, and Nomad. And I listened to Doc Marquis on the Lou Epting show. I believe that was in 99. And Doc Marquis is an individual who claims that he was former third-level witch, retired military, and Illuminati. And then he became a born-again preacher. So I called into the Lou Epting show, and I said, Doc Marquis, what is the Lodi, Nomad, Enigma, and what is the Mach-T? And he says, well, that sounds translated. And then I told him how I found it with the reverse speech machine. And so they were getting ready to dump me. And I quickly said, what's the Mockley Lodi Nomad and where is the Enigma? And he got all panicking. He said, I can't remember. Well, this man's been in all his life, and he can't remember. I think someone should use one of those machines on some of his tapes and see how active he really is still in the Illuminati. Now, the Mockti, I found, was an Indian icon, idol that they pray to conjure up demons. The Nomad is some form of roaming demon that they want to consult. And the Lodi is their secret computer network, where they can go into their classified computer and interact with each other. And the Enigma is Satan. They go to different places around the world where they try to conjure up Satan and get advice from him, and he tells them what to do. Now, there are a lot of people in this country that are, they do that voice to skull stuff too, that are other victims, and they've been lobbying Congress to get it stopped, but they can't. Some of them will have like witch chanting 24/7. Some of them have conversations going on between other parties. They do all kinds of things because they can. Now, if you're a victim of mind control, you would have anxiety attacks, panic attacks a lot. I mean, a lot. For some unknown reason, you'll go into a panic mode and you won't know why. You also may feel like you're floating several feet above yourself looking down. Well, this is a natural reaction to any trauma. People on operating tables or that warrant officer on the Black Hawk Down incident. Whenever you're facing a great deal of trauma, this is a natural defense mechanism. You'll feel like you're going on an out-of-body experience and you're watching the abuse. That way you can deal with the pain more. And if, you know, and that also could be just from childhood abuse. You know, it doesn't necessarily say that you're a mind control victim. And that goes for the conversations too. If someone had a real bad childhood, they may think that way as well. You'll get migraine headaches a lot. I mean, a lot. And when you get stressed out, you're dealing with something, confrontation or whatever, you'll have points on your shoulders and your back that will spasm and be excruciating pain, and it's always the same spots. And what that is when they're hooking you up for the memory dump, that what they'll do is they'll hook electrodes to different parts of your back and body, and while they're erasing the memory with the electroshock halo on your head, they're also torturing you with electroshock on those specific parts of your body. And they know where to put them because they have it in a book. Now, even the dumbest CIA agent or satanic operative can do this to children. All they have to do is follow the book and then just keep decent records. If you have missing time, you might have a couple hours. You're looking at the clock, and 2 hours later, you look at the clock again, and it's a different time. You might be gone for days, weeks, months. In my case, prior to this, I didn't think I had any missing time, so then I went back to 1979, where I was working on George Lucas's Executive Warehouse Studio. And I figured out I was there for a year and a half, all the money I made, I should have had double the money. I was gone half the time. Now, Steven Spielberg was sued by a woman 6 or so years ago, claimed to be a satanically richly abused sex slave of his. The case was dismissed without prejudice. I've been told by numerous operatives, CIA, military personnel, that George Lucas is a very big player in this. George Lucas, if you're out there, you want to come on the show and say that everything that everybody told me about you and everything that I remember about you doing to me in a mind control state is wrong, well, we'll give you that opportunity. You just contact the BBS network and we'll put you on as a guest on the show. Now, George Lucas was the man in black, one of my handlers. And the movie Eyes Wide Shut, Kubrick was murdered after that movie because it came out with it, and these are perks for Satanists, Illuminati, Jesuits, ministers that are their operatives, and so on and so forth. It's awful easy to act pure as the wind-driven snow when you know you're going to get a wild lay at a sex orgy on numerous times throughout the year. Now, where do they hide people like me? Mostly in churches as religious nuts. And I used to be a religious nut. And that's how they maintain you. And they keep you at a point where somebody's always attacking you, you know, business-wise, your reputation, everything. You're always at a state of war with someone because they don't want you to get the opportunity to stand back and see what your life is really like. Now, in my case, they were ripping me off in business. One of the perks for these people is that when they steal things for you, that they get to keep it. And you don't know that they stole it, but they do. They'll come in your house. Let's say if they want to get you and they can't get you on the phone, they will gas your house and then come in and activate you. And how do they do that? Well, there'll be triggers. And in my case, one of the trigger words were Axion, Axion, Axion. Activate, activate, activate. Eugene V. Colson, activate, activate, activate. And I'm right in a different part of my mind. Your eyes shift slightly, and now you're in mind control mode. They also use handheld devices for hypnotic reasons. You know, it might be like a rattle with round lights going. In my case, yellow was the primary color that they like to use a lot. Sometimes they'll have red, blue. Sometimes they'll have lines of flashing lights. They have a whole assortment of it. And when they do it to you from my age, from age 5 on, well, each time they would access me, it would get easier and easier and easier. And that would be true of the same of you if you're a mind control victim and they've done this to you. Now, proof of what I'm saying here is in 1991, they ferried me to and from Gulf One in the SR-71 for the Scud Command Center mission. And if anybody's in the military, it's well known about a Delta Force team that got stuck in a bunker for 3 days and then took out 500 Iraqis and one T-54 tank. Well, what this was they flew me over in the SR-71 because I was going to lead the Scud Command Center mission, because in the first Gulf War, if one bio hit Israel, Israel was going to nuke its enemies in Russia. Russia nukes us, we all die. Well, I insisted upon a shower, and I took a quick Marine Corps shower, and I was handed a set of orders from Schwarzkopf, from the president, direct to me. Said, Colonel Colson, you are to get the coordinates of the Scuds any way possible, as fast as possible. Number two, you get your team away safely. And then he explained to me, he said, as soon as our aircraft was launched, the entire coalition air forces will be airborne. The old hardened silos and subs are at DEFCON 2, targeting Russia, China, Libya, North Korea. Middle East is DEFCON 2. The rest of the Air Force world was DEFCON 3. Israel was at DEFCON 2. Russia was at DEFCON 3, coming up to 2, because if one Scud hit, is on its way to Israel, Bush was going to do a preemptive strike. So we did a high-speed, low-altitude jump from a Bronco, and we went to a nuclear-style bunker that they had about 100 miles due south of Baghdad. And Israel told us where it was. And they had three guards. We gave them emergency tracheotomies, and then they only had a steel commercial door on it, not a heavy security door, just a steel commercial door, like you'd have on any commercial building in the United States. And we blew the door and then neutralized everybody that was diving for the computer. We zip-tied the remaining ones, hands behind their backs, and then I proceeded with the interrogation. The first was of a sergeant. He was part of that honor guard, red guard, whatever they called those. And he died. And then there was two lieutenants, and they died. And then there was the captain. He died. And Schwarzkopf was screaming at the top of his lungs. Do not work on the major, because if the colonel doesn't talk to get us the keys, get into a computer, we're going to have to get that information from the major. Well, I wasn't operating under his orders. I was operating under the president. So all the good pieces that came off of the good colonel ended up, or the major ended up in the lap of the colonel, and right before his major circumcision, he decided to talk. He was going to be half off in no time. So when they brought me back to the Edwards, the SR-71, going at 57, 60 knots on the way over there, which was faster than it was supposed to be. When we landed, it was no longer black. It was burnt orange. I asked the pilots how it worked. And they drew out a schematic of the turbine jet and a scramjet, which is behind it, where it achieves the super speeds, multiple knots. And I said, I can make it go faster. And they said, yeah, right. Well, it took me about 5 minutes to figure out the three-stage reverse ram field blast combustion process. They were quite impressed. There was a lieutenant general over in the corner of the room, and they said, General, come over here, please. He said, I'm too busy with the war. Leave me alone. They said, sir, you really need to look at this. We implore you. So I explained it to him, and he was quite impressed. He said, send this to the tech at your earliest opportunity. Well, guess what? They made it work. And anybody in the military, it's widely known that we have the SR-72, which launches satellites, and the PSR-73, which is a bomber. And it has done combat missions. I'll give the president a pass on this one, because we have used it in combat, and I'm not going to say what it was, because I was on the first combat mission. Now, a year and a half ago, I was thinking about the three-stage reverse ram field blast combustion, and I figured out how to make it go faster. So I emailed Northrop Grumman, and I said, let's make a deal. And to Dr. Sugar, I want my retirement and benefits, and I'll make it go faster. And their form of let's make a deal was a week later, they gassed my house, sedative, antidote, took me to an RV down the road, and the chief engineer for the Aurora project handed me a schematic of the BSR-73 power plant, and I was to draw in the modifications. They were quite impressed. Over a two-week time period, I remembered six missing links for the X-83. And what is the X-83? The X-83 is the aircraft, not spacecraft, that is going to fly to the space station, not launch. Of course, you'll need liquid hydrogen and oxygen for outer space maneuvering. It will achieve Mach 26.4 with a slingshot escape velocity safety margin of Mach 2. Well, if anybody's seen on the History Channel the shows on the Aurora project, well, you had these three donuts, three large vapor donuts with three sonic booms up in the upper stratosphere going up at about a 33-degree angle of ascent. That's the three-stage reverse ram field blast combustion. And it kicks in at Mach 4.2. By Mach 7.1, they're running entirely on atmosphere. Now, these aircrafts must skip in and out of the atmosphere so that they can cool down. Otherwise, they burn up. Because in 1993, they brought me into Northrop Grumman, and they said, we can make the aircraft work. But the power plant worked, but there's nothing we can't build that won't burn up in the atmosphere. I said, so you need a radiator? They go, yeah, we need a radiator. I said, can the aircraft launch into outer space? Or no, first I asked, I said, well, how cold is outer space? They said, 75 below zero in the sun, 255 degrees below zero in the shade, if I remember correctly. I said, can the aircraft launch into outer space? Yes. Will it return? Yes. I said, you ever skip a flat stone across the ponds when you were a child? And they go, well, yes. I said, then skip it in and out of the atmosphere. There's your radiator. Well, they already had this knowledge because missiles, ICBMs would bounce in and out of the atmosphere on their way to the trajectory, but these high IQ idiots couldn't figure out the least common denominator, simple solution to make it work. And I figured it out. They just were too smart to figure, hey, we can use this for a radiator until I pointed that out to them. Now, if you're a mind control victim, you will probably have excessive compulsive disorders, like I had. When I was a child, at first it was lifting weights. I would have excessive compulsive disorders on making paper toys, thousands and thousands and thousands of them, and make armies out of them. Later, I got an excessive compulsive in martial arts, which is what they like. And I became a jiu-jitsu instructor, Officially, my rank was second degree black belt, and my skill level was up about fourth degree. Now, throughout my life, I was programmed to lose all my fights for myself and win all the fights for them. So when I was a child, I lost the vast majority of the fights I got into. As I got older and stronger in martial arts, I didn't have that problem anymore. But it would be like when I'm in martial arts class, I would hit a wall and wouldn't react as quick as I thought I should. Well, and whenever we'd go out with the family, let's say to an amusement park or, you know, other gatherings or other things, it was like I was on a mission. And I couldn't wait to get back home because that's where I felt I was safe. As a child, if you're a victim of this, you might quite often sleep with the covers over your head, the pillow over your head, under your bed. You know, I used to ball up in a blanket and as a child because this is the only safe place I have and not know why. Because, you know, these guys are pedophiles. They have pedophile rings. They molest children. They pass them off. And as I pointed out last week on the show, that there were 30 dismembered women found all over Claremont County, Ohio, from 71 to 1980, which never made the national news. And they did catch a man and pinned 8 on him. The real culprit was Creel Helton, Major General Creel Helton, Special Ops Advisory. And he moved to New Mexico. Boy, I'd like to see some heavy equipment go down there and dig up all around his place where he's got all those illegal aliens he could play with. Now, they'll also do programs based on Wizard of Oz, Alice in Wonderland movie, you know, and this is part of programming, you know, Narnia, fairy tales, Grimm's fairy tales, and they'll use triggers of those words, like mine with Axion, Axion, Axion. I'm sure there's some other triggers, but I can't remember what they are at this point in time. I probably remember about 85% of what they did and how they did it to me. And the virtual reality hood they now got, they're called a trip chair. It's like you get in a cockpit, and then they do their routine on you. And if you're starting to have problems with this, you start journaling whatever you remember, your dreams, your nightmares, anything that you can remember of this, and that will help you remember more. You've got to lose fear, because if you're a mind control victim, you're going to go into a panic mode. You've got to lose that fear as fast as possible. Because if you don't have, they don't have that fear to use against you, you know, it's going to be harder for them to activate you, easier for you to get out of the program. Now, there was that group in 1990 up in Toronto where a radio station helped those people get out of the program. And they sued the Canadian government, the United States CIA, and won multiple millions. And so we go to Koresh at Waco. David Koresh broke them free. They all realized they were victims of Operation Monarch. So that was, and they thought we're going to file suit in federal court. They had too many cooperating witnesses. They would not be able to stop the lawsuit. That's why they were murdered. And they were murdered. And clinical hypnotism is another good way to regain your repressed memory. I had gone and got hypnotized by a psychologist who has also dealt with ritual abuse and mind control for 4 years, once a week. I would journal things, remember them, and then we'd go back under hypnotism and recover those repressed memories. Now, and I would continue to journal and journal and journal. At this point in time, I don't journal anymore because I can remember everything. Because at first, when you start to recover a repressed memory, it's going to be like a fog, an impression, a haze, then a dream state. And as you remember more and more and more, then it's like yesterday. And early on, I talked with all the top shrinks in the country on mind control and satanic ritual abuse and recovering repressed memory. And 1 year into my recovery, they told me that I recovered more repressed memory than any other survivor with more details. Well, that was 7 years ago. I'm way beyond that now. Because when I remembered my buds training, I went and worked out with a friend of mine who was a real bounty hunter, and he was one of my jiu-jitsu instructors, and I said, Leo, check this out. As soon as he put his hands on me, I threw him, and he was in an intricate wrist lock before he hit the ground. I threw him twice, and then he wanted didn't even want to see anything again. I went and worked out with a 10th degree black belt, 6'3", Shotokan karate, 275 pound black belt, and he was afraid to touch me. Now, so, and my speed and my strength just went off the charts. You may have flashbacks. I suggest you journal those flashbacks that you're having and put that in there. And just keep writing, keep thinking about it. If you feel like you need to cry, you cry as much as possible. That is one of the best forms of dealing with trauma. I mean, and then you'll have people that are around you. They're keepers. And they're to keep you around, so if they need to snag you for a mission or whatever, one of their sex parties, they can do it. And they start them off as keepers. And then they'll gradually get up to be a handler, where they can handle people, multiple people, where they can dial them up and take them back down. And these people will usually be connected with the military, the CIA, or something like that, or the mafia. The mafia is into this big time. Now, there's probably about 10% of people that are in the mafia that are decent people. The other 90% are not. And they're heavily involved in this program. And you get married, let's say you have a beautiful wife. While you're gone on a mission, they're using your wife and kids as sex toys. And they will train them to be assassins as well. Now, like I said, if you live on a military base, get off. You know, if you have someone that's, you think is a friend, where you always go to, or checking in on you once a week, see how you're doing, and you have all these other symptoms, guess what? You're probably a mind control victim, and he's one of your handlers. And then they get to the, they raise up through the ranks, and they become a programmer. And a programmer can be a keeper and a handler all in one, where they can actually program you through various tortures, electric shock, the trip chair reality hood, and so on and so forth. Now, where do they do these things? Well, they can do them right in your own home. Trip chair, no. Every major military base has a giant PSYOPs unit where they have hundreds of these things, and they're constantly in use. And they're just trying to create the ultimate warrior. Now, I'm not just one of the shadow warriors. I'm the man. Anybody who's ever tried to do what I've done, are either dead or in a wheelchair. And God protected me out there. And these men knew that. I should have been dead almost every single mission I went on. But because God protected me, they put me up front, in the middle, on almost every occasion. Unless somebody could run faster than me and we had to run to a point A to B, then I'd be up front in the middle when I got there. Now, my other operational names are as such. Lieutenant General Royal T. Browning, Force Recon, and I wrote three editions of the classified book, Advanced Infantry Tactics. And if you're in the military, they made the first edition widely available before Gulf II. The third edition was basically for Delta Force, Force Recon, and SEAL. And if you get one of the unsanitized versions, it's got my dark humor in it. My other operational names are Brigadier General James T. Wheeler, Green Beret. Made famous as Captain Wheeler at the Battle of Jackass Straits in Vietnam, where I was 17 years old, they put Captain Bars on me, and they said, plan and lead this assault on 2000 NBA coming down the trail with 300 Montagnards. So what I did was, I divided the Montagnards into two groups. We were on a hill with two intersecting valleys, and the trail and the whole other side was Agent Orange, so it was nothing but brush, dead bushes, and so forth. And the Montagnards were in hiding behind the brush. And to set off the battle, I was to fire one tracer round into one of the North Vietnamese. And that was when they were almost past the first valley. It put 100 RPGs into their rear. And then when the remaining NVAs turned to attack that valley, the other valley put 100 RPGs into their rear. And I had, I think, 256 rounds with me. Remington M16 Long Rifle Series 2, and I took out 254 targets. And Alex Lalonde had an M1 sniper. But we were targeted by one of the NVA with an RPG, and before he fired, I hit him in the chest, and that RPG went 10 feet over our head. And then all the Montagnards, they had 1,100 rounds of ammo each. So the NVA only have a little bit of ammo on them, so it was not hard to wipe them out because they expend their ammo very quickly, and it was a shooting gallery. It wasn't rocket science. And that's what Captain James T. Wheeler was first famous for. Now, my Ranger operational name is General Lindsey Thompson, and made famous as Major Thompson as Lawrence of Afghanistan. They sent me over to Afghanistan with Warrant Officer Alex Lalonde. I was Captain Lindsey Thompson then, quickly went up to the rank of Major, and we were to train the Southern tribe how to beat the Russians. This was a Southern Mujahideen tribe, and there were other Mujahideen from other countries as well. And we spent about 3 hours teaching them simple static line fire and maneuver. And we said, okay, time to go to work. Well, that night, we attacked a Russian compound, and when we attack Russians at night, because they're all drunk on vodka. And so I'm organizing this three-sided assault, and all the surviving Russians running out the other side, carrying their rifles and pistols, heard cavalry of several hundred Arabian horses with a chief and his 200 of his men on them, and they threw down their weapons so they could run faster and made it easier for the chief to chop them up. Well, when I got to the center of the compound, there were two Mujahideen women with the blue body socks and about six or eight little kids huddled with them. No, it was three women, about 12 to 15, and the Mujahideen were cutting their throats. And I said, and I called my interpreter, Tonto, because I was the Lone Ranger. I said, Tonto, what's this? He said, Russians, wait, women and children. The infidel, they must die. They're impure. And I got really mad at them. I started calling them mojo beans and started cussing them out and screaming at them. And Tonto said, Chief want to know why you call us mojo beans when we mujahideen. I said, because you're mojo beans. Chief want to know what mojo bean means. I said, a mojo is a giant penis, but you got them rags on top of your heads. You look like a bunch of uncircumcised dicks, but you're brave as those beaner Cubans, so you're mojo beans. He said, Chief, say that very big insult. I said, why? I said it pretty nice, didn't I? Well, then I quickly just came up with a plan to stop this from happening again. So when we were getting drunk together with our celebration of our first victory together, I waited till we were half drunk, and I said, Chief, do I have your permission never to leave your men's presence in the field when I don't want to? This is all through Tonto. I swear it on my mother's grave and my father in paradise. I said, Chief, I waited till we were drunker. I said, do I have your permission never to leave your presence in the field when I don't want to? I swear it on my mother's grave and my father in paradise. Then I waited till we were really drunk, and I said, Chief, do I have your permission never to see Mujahideen women and children killed again? I swear on my mother's grave and father in paradise. So the next night, when we took another compound, instead of being at the rear, I was at front in the middle. I was the first guy over the wall. And I found two of the women with six or eight little kids all huddled together. And I was standing guard over them. And the chief, and Tonto came up when they got done capturing and killing the Russians. And they say, women and children must die, the infidel. I said, remember your promises last night? Oh, they were very upset. The Mujahideen do not do anything without a full tribal tribunal. This is their entertainment, arguing with each other, screaming at each other like two governments about to tear each other's heads off. So we had this tribunal, and they would say things like, go outside and go to the bathroom. I said, no, I'm not going outside to go to the bathroom. If I am, they're coming with me. And they said, well, put a hat over your head. Nope, I'm not going to do that. Cover your eyes. Let us stand around you, you know, over in the corner so you don't have to watch us. And I kept saying, no, no, no. Well, finally, the brother-in-law of this gal pulls out his knife, and he's going to kill them. And then I step between him, and he rears back, with his knife, like he's going to try to kill me, and I had a bayonet on my left arm, 5-inch special ops bayonet with the Griswold cut. One strike is three different cuts. Goes right through the neck bone. The only thing holding the head onto the body is the skin on the other side. And the body's jumping all over the place, blood squirting everywhere. Five more Mujahideen pull their knives. Thought to say, Chisa, you must die. You try to kill one of our own. I said, well, he tried to kill me. It was self-defense. And I pulled another man out. I said, let's rock and roll. You know, so they had to put their knives away. And like most Arabs, they have to cut themselves before they put the knife away. If they pull that knife out, it has to kill someone, cut an animal up, or they have to cut themselves. So I've got one clean knife and one bloodied knife. And they're looking at my knife. Did you say your knife got no blood on it? So I stuck it in the dead guy. They didn't like that very much. And so I'm standing there letting them dry, and she said, why not you put your knife away? I said, because this has got the finest blood in the world a knife could have on it. It's got Mujahideen blood. And if I put this Mujahideen blood in my scabbard with the dried Russian blood, it'll defile it. Well, they liked that idea. They thought it was pretty good. So they went along with that. And we're arguing for about 20 minutes or so on why they're not going to kill the women and children. Or self-defense, I'm sorry, self-defense. Because this hearing was on the self-defense. And they say, finally, Santos says, okay, Chief say you must, self-defense okay. You to kill him, he tried to kill you, but women and children must die. I said, why must they die? He said, Chief say they're very bad infidels. I said, am I a very bad infidel? Chief say you very, very bad infidel. And I said, what, do you like what I'm training you? Oh, Chief likes very, very much. And I said, well, then I'm leaving. She said, you very, very good, very, very bad infidel. So I said, would you like me to get you more fighters to kill more Russians? Oh, Chief wants to know when you can go get them. I said, I'll go get you a couple right now. So they thought I was going to leave so they could kill the women and children. I picked up the AK-47 off the dead guy. I slammed it in this little Persian gal's stomach, and she cocked it and pointed it right at the chief's head. Just like at the end of the movie The Blues Brothers at the Cook County Courthouse, we had 1,100 rifles pointing at our head. I said, those women are infidel. I'm a very, very bad infidel. I said, those are now my wives, and those are my adopted children. If anybody touches them, I'll kill you and your whole family. So within a week, I had over 30 wives. And we were able to get them the French abortion pill so they could abort the raped fetus, or the fetus that resulted from the rape. And they do things to all kids. They break the hymens on the little girl because it was mostly the Armenian Russians because of the Armenian genocide. And there were always Muslim Russian troops, and so that when we'd have a tribunal of the executions of the remaining prisoners, why, the Muslims told us who did what. And you didn't want to be a Russian rapist, and some of them we'd hand over to the women, and they'd pull out their little knives and administer first aid. You did not want to be a Russian rapist. So how did we stop this? Eventually, we captured a compound where there was about 15 blue-eyed, blonde-haired Russian kids, 16 to 19 years old, who did not do anything to the women and children. Chief wanted to kill them. No, you want to end the raping? He goes, yeah. I said, so, all through Tonto, of course. I said, well, let's throw a party for them and let them go. Don't do anything to them. And so we did. And they found hundreds and hundreds of Armenian Russians wandering around the desert with no fingers, no toes, no tongue, no eyes, with a sign written on it, rapist. Oh, and no genitals as well. And we gave them plenty of water to drink for that because we wanted them to last as long as possible. And that pretty much ended the raping. Not completely, but it stopped it a lot. Now, there's also another device you can use to help recover repressed memory. And I got this from Sue Ford. I had met Sue Ford and Ted Gunderson back in April of 2000 in Hollywood. And I was suspecting that my wife and children were victims of this monarch. And I gave Sue Ford about $300 because she needed some money. And then when I started to remember the mind control stuff, I immediately called her up. And she said, I at least recognize the that you were originally abused. Because when I started remembering the repressed memory, first it was a physical abuse of the old man. And that went on for 2 months. I'm getting hypnotized. And then all of a sudden I started having flashbacks of sexual abuse. That lasted a month, and I'm journaling it. I have a younger sister who's 2 years younger than me who went through the repressed memory syndrome when she was, I think, 23, and she started having flashbacks of all the beatings that the old man did to her. And she put herself in therapy, and she only went halfway through therapy, and when I started to remember these things, I called her up. And she says, oh, my God, somebody finally believes me. And she was verifying all the physical abuse because she would hide behind the furnace in the basement while the old man was beating me with whatever, belt, fours, tools, tomato steaks were his favorite thing that pounded over the head with it to a very small child. And that was the only way she could feel safe, is to witness the old man beating someone else that's not her. And then when I started remembering the sexual abuse stuff, she broke off contact with me because I don't think she could handle it. She only went partway through therapy. And I found out later that she was used mainly as a sex slave. She looked very much like Farrah Fawcett, was very beautiful, and they used her a lot in that fashion. And so then I went through 1 week of remembering satanic ritual activity, okay? And 1 week later, I'm starting to remember M16A1B and how to take it apart and put it back together. Then a Remington M16 long rifle, Series 1, which looks like a giant M16, 4'10", 16 pounds empty, fired caliber 273, shell and casing, 5.5 inches, enough powder being a short 50. I don't remember the range. Series 2 was the same weapon, only had a square sniper stock. Series 3 had a 3-round burst. Series 4, square sniper stock. That's when they started using the German forward assist and the German sighting on the forward assist. You click elevation and windage by pulling those notches back. Series 5 had a gas cock on the primary gas port. You could turn it off, and it also had a receiver lockdown switch so you could fire it like a bolt action. It had a 3-kilometer range. Series 6 was spent uranium ammo for tank suppression. First one, Series 6A1, caliber 273, was broke down like an M16A1A or A1B, and then A2. They had snap-on barrels, and then Series 6A3 was just 50 cal. You get about 20 rounds of spent uranium ammo down a barrel in the barrel shock. And it also has belt-fed capabilities on the Series 6. Series 7 is 50 cal. It is only semi-automatic. It has a 5-click range. And anybody in the military, snipers, they would know this. Now, the people that are your keepers, they may be your best friend, neighbors, people you work with, churches, ministers. I would recommend everyone get a reverse speech machine, start running sermon tapes through it, and learn how to do it. So there's a learning curve. And you will find out how to use the thing, and start doing it on your ministers to see if they're part of the operation as well. Another thing that might happen in your lives, if you've never had any martial arts training to your knowledge, if you snap into a martial arts mode during a fight, and you don't know where that came from, occasions of super speed, strength, they are, that just pop out of nowhere. And you may wake up with taser marks in your face, your body, needle marks. You may wake up with bruises, or your knee's gone, or something like that. Because they'll erase your memory every time. Now, in my case, I would have sleep deprivation all my life. And if you're victims of this, you probably have the same problem. I would wake up at 1:30 every morning, regardless, every night. And many times I would wake up in the morning, when I'd finally wake up, totally exhausted and wouldn't know why. That's because I was out doing things all night long. Now, they will also do all of these things to your wife, your kids, your brothers, sisters, and a lot of other people around you. Now, quite often these people that get involved in this are involved in the occult, witchcraft, devil worship. And if your family was involved in this heavily, you can bet you're probably a victim. I would recommend you file a claim with your congressman. In my case, I filed a claim with Congressman David Dreyer. I brought in names of people that I found that heard of me, served with me. It was bought off and squelched by the CIA. I had a full Veterans Department investigation going. Colonel Smith, head of the VA in Los Angeles County. And it was squelched by the CIA. They said because my fingerprints weren't on regular file with the DOD, that they couldn't do anything for me. But nobody in Delta Force, which Recon and SEAL teams, fingerprints are on file with the DOD. I filed a claim with Congressman Micah, and his aide is well aware of MKUltra. He's aware of General Boyle T. Browning. He's aware of the classified book, Advanced Infantry Tactics. And the DOD and the CIA were supposed to respond within 2 weeks, as of 2 years ago. And they haven't. We called the White House. We went on to call him back. I filed a claim with Senator Nelson's office. I also took in all of the schematics I made of the missing links of the X-83. And I have an uncle. His name was Charlie Hamlin. And he was high-ranking CIA. He was in the Peace Corps. Well, first he was in Air Force Intelligence. Then he was in, worked for a mega-bunch rich guy in Florida. Then he joined the Peace Corps. He would travel all over the world and live in giant mansions while he was in the Peace Corps and have a whole bunch of servants. He was in the Biafran War, 67. He was in Bangladesh when it split off of Pakistan. In 1967, he unofficially broke the world record of living in a bathyscape 6 weeks. He was probably diving on a sub. He would, and when I gave his name to Colonel Smith, I said, I don't know where he lives in Key West. I don't know. He was visited by countless intel personnel. And then he emailed my fine mother and asked her to have me never contact him again. He was dying, and I sent him an email. Anything I can do to help? Well, fortunately, he's dead now. And I might point out that a lot of these people that are involved in a lot of this stuff, quite a few of them now are dying or died of pancreatic cancer, like Patrick Swayze. And captains in industry. I've heard seven heads of the Federal Reserve. I've heard Bush Sr. All these people. I think God has had enough of this crap, and these people are dying from it. Now, and your thought process. Another thing, if it's real hard for you to think, like in my case, I would say it was really hard for me to think. I had this conversation going on, a lot of pressure on my head, and it would be like someone being very constipated and can't go to the bathroom. I mean, that's the best way I could describe it. But once my mind started to integrate, it was like a pressure fuse went off inside my head to release the pressure. And then I slowly integrated all the altars into one. I still think verbal. I can conceptualize a little bit, but my IQ went off the charts, too, with that. You know, exactly what it is, I don't know. If the listeners have ever heard of Lieutenant Colonel S.C., who was on the Daniel Ott Show, I went up to visit him 5 weeks ago, and they have, after I left, they poisoned him. He's dying. I called him today. He was crying. I don't know. He couldn't talk to me. But they will, when you start to come out of this, all hell's going to break loose. They'll break into your home. They'll steal things. They'll put them back. They'll follow you with multiple cars, all the same kind and color. They will put your names on license plates. They will do everything they can to make you think you're going crazy. And they almost did in my case. And they still harass me. I'm constantly having needle marks, whatnot, on my body. I'm in the process of trying to find an alarm system that would be sufficient where this would not happen. But they've tried numerous times to kill me so far this year because I've started doing radio shows. About 3 months ago, they tried to put a drill bit in my skull, and I snapped out of my drug-induced state and sent two of them to the promised land. The arrests of all those mafia guys in New York on February 7th and 8th, that was something that was initiated by me last October. And the Secret Service met with me, well, I'd say about 10 weeks ago. And there are 350 more additional arrest warrants for more mafia people on the run. And that was something that was started last October. Because you can't even see anything on the internet past February 7th and 8th or 9th about those mafia arrests in Sicily, New York, and New Jersey, where 167 were arrested on February 7th and 8th. You'll see one article of one of the ex-wives of one of them who, where they put a bomb in her car to try to kill her. But that's all you'll see on that. You won't see anything else. They're holding them as under the terrorist statutes, like the guys at Guantanamo. And there's a big power shift going on in the world right now because so many of these guys are dying of pancreatic cancer and they want to repent and of their sins, but the people underneath them that want to take their place say, if you repent, we're going to kill you. So they're kind of in a rock and a hard place. I don't have a great deal of sympathy for them. I know God wants them to repent, but I just assume that they all die, miserable death. Now, I've been told by numerous people that the government's going to settle with me because they're tired of me causing all these problems for them. I have blew apart numerous intelligence rings by going public with it, like Worldwide Church of God. The Mormon Church is heavily involved in this. I would have to say that most of those Catholic priests that were into the molestation of children were probably involved in this and were devil worshippers and just couldn't control themselves. Worldwide Church of God had numerous sex scandals. Every time they'd have one, they'd cover it up, especially if it was one of their ministers who did it. There was a pedophile up in Portland who they kicked him in and out of Worldwide Church of God over 30 years, and he had countless molestation victims. And when I found out, after I found out he was a pedophile, and I told some friends, keep an eye on him, and they caught him trying to molest some girls. Well, I reported the leadership of Worldwide Church of God, and they just whitewashed the whole thing. That's what they do. And you see these religions that are constantly having money scandals, financial, sexual. You can bet that they're probably part of the operation. If you go to a church and they have three screens, and they're showing the preacher on three different screens, they have a rock, like a rock band. They're talking about this feel-goodism like Joel Osteen does. He doesn't talk about anything about repenting and sin and how to help your neighbor. In fact, none of them talk about give to those that are in need. No, they want you to give you to give them all of your money. You don't hear anybody just say, no, all you got to do is keep the two commandments, and you prove it by helping people in need. As Jesus said, if you give it unto the least of these, you give it unto me. Once again, I want to thank the CBS Radio Network for letting me on, and Donald Newsom. My email address is UGENEBCULSON@yahoo.com. And please keep it brief, because I don't have a computer at home. There's got an economic war on me. I have to go to the library to use the computer. And if you start to break free, they're going to have an economic war on you as well. Because I've known other people that are in the process of breaking free, and one individual was a Hollywood producer, and they took everything away from her, stole everything. And she didn't even have a real identity, no real social security number, no driver's license. And they've done that quite often, although they have not done that to me, but I have heard of other cases. So You need to pray about this. If you think you're a victim, you ask God to reveal it, because he's the one that is the ultimate one in charge. And like I've said, he's tired of this stuff, and these people are dying. Because I've been praying since 2000 that everybody did this to me and my family die of pancreatic cancer, and they are, and other cancers as well. Area 51, that's part of their operation, too. On my previous show, I explained how they make the graves, how horrible it was. If you haven't listened to that show, I would suggest you go back to last week, Thursday, a week from today, backwards, and listen to that show. I tell you what's going on at Area 51, and it's the most disgusting thing I have ever seen in my life. So, this is Eugene B. Colson. My time is up. Signing off. And have a nice day.
Where would $5,000 per week take you? Discover the exact details of a simple and proven system that quickly puts $5,000 to $10,000 in many students' pockets every week. What's most amazing is that there are almost no computer skills required, and you can start pulling in cash automatically within just a few hours. We are absolutely convinced that our proven system will create massive wealth for virtually anyone, and we'll prove it. Go to bbscashflow.com now and get all the details. That's bbscashflow.com.